This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here. Rob is here as well. We are going to start today's show a little bit different than we usually would. Let me give you the 411 on what we have planned. Bonte Hill is going to join us coming up in a bit. He does radio in San Francisco. Michael Silver, one of the best sports writers to ever cover the National Football League. He is going to be on the show. He is based in the Bay Area. Nate Taylor is going to be in studio. There is a lot of stuff for us to get to. And K-State fan, I promised you guys that we would talk a little K-State football today. I don't want you to feel left out. We had a KU person on the show. We had a Missouri person on the show. We do not exclude on The Drive. We are going to have John Kurtz coming up in about 35 minutes or so. We're going to get his thoughts on the Wildcats as they have another road game in the Big 12 against West Virginia. We are going to start with Sunday's game between the Chiefs and the Niners. We're going to do it a little bit differently than you would probably expect. I got takes, hot takes today, but I just want to start today's show with a little different energy. I'll explain here in a bit, but first, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6-913-586-7965. They win a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella with all organic tomato sauce and locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. So whether you're in the mood for a whole pie or just a slice or two, be sure to check them out today at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, you're also excited about Chiefs football getting things back going after the bye week. The best place to do that is with us right here on 96.5 The Fan. Rob, this is how I would like to kick today's show off a little differently. Now, I am picking Kansas City to win this game, and over the course of the next 4 hours, I will tell you exactly why I am picking the Chiefs. But one thing has kind of been a theme in my life over the course of the last week, whether it was talking to Joe Shasky, I've been texting back and forth with Bonte Hill. He's going to be on the show coming up in a little bit. Earlier, getting a chance to talk to Mike Silver. One thing has just continued to come up in thinking and discussing this game, how the Chiefs, and more specifically Patrick Mahomes, have just been a thorn in the side to not just San Francisco, but to the rest of the league. So this is how I would like to start today's show, Rob, with a little bit of different energy. You remember watching The Last Dance. And it was basically just a parade of people who Michael Jordan stopped from winning a championship, whether it was Reggie Miller, whether it was Patrick Ewing, Gary Payton, whoever it was. These were guys that thought they had a chance of sitting at the top of the mountain like Charles Barkley. But you know what? Michael Jordan came around and crushed the buildings, and those guys never won a championship. This is how I would like to start today's show. Who do you think secretly walks around with the biggest beef towards Patrick Mahomes? Do you think it's Kyle Shanahan, who is 0-2 against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl? Do you think it's Josh Allen, that as good as Josh Allen has been, he has never been able to beat Patrick Mahomes in a game that's truly meaningful? Do you think it's Lamar Jackson, who has all the personal accolades that you can have, has very few of the postseason accolades? Or do you think it's the rest of the AFC West, as it looks like we are heading towards part two of the New England Patriots dominance? You guys remember, for 20 years, the Patriots dominated the Jets, dominated the Dolphins, dominated the Bills. As long as you played in the AFC East, you knew you had no chance of winning that division, and you were going to have to go on the road for every single postseason game. So that's how I would like to start off today's show. 913-586-7965. Who do you think walks around with the biggest hatred, the biggest chip on their shoulder towards Patrick Mahomes? His name comes up and you don't even want to discuss Patrick Mahomes. Somebody secretly has the Ja'Marr Chase feeling towards Patrick Mahomes. Man, I don't like that guy. And your only reason for not liking him is that he's better than you. I've told you guys this before. Everybody has a Patrick Mahomes in their life. There was somebody when you were in school that was just a little bit smarter than you. There was somebody when you were in school was just a little bit faster, a little bit stronger. The girls were more interested in them than they were in you. And you secretly, low-key, hate that person. You understood why they were better than you, but you know what? I just don't like that individual. So these are the four options, I think. Because I don't want to put Joe Burrow in his, because Burrow has actually gotten the better of Patrick Mahomes before. These other four individuals or groups have not. Do you think it's Kyle Shanahan who has the biggest beef? Is it Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or the rest of the AFC West? Rob, I will give you first up. I'll give you the first pick. 913-586-7965. I will read your text. We got Bonte Hill coming up in a bit, and we'll ask him this same question. Who do you think walks around with the biggest beef? Who do you think it is, Rob?
I think it's Josh Allen for a couple reasons. One, I could easily argue the reason that Josh Allen doesn't have a ring already is because Patrick Mahomes exists. I think if they had won the 13 seconds game, the Bills are probably in the Super Bowl that year. If they had won the AFC title game against the Chiefs in 2020, they're obviously in the Super Bowl that year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they might even win that Super Bowl against the Buccaneers. I think, first and foremost, Josh Allen doesn't have jewelry, and that's Patrick Mahomes' fault. Secondarily, and we talked about it earlier in the week about how he's in a weird spot, Josh Allen is great. He is on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and he is probably playing the best quarterback in the National Football League right now. But everyone still ho-hum about his accomplishments, yawn, who cares, about how great he looks, and shrug their shoulders. We don't care you're the best right now because we know you aren't the best. In a world where Patrick Mahomes doesn't exist, Josh Allen is fawned over at that level. Josh Allen is that level of celebrity. Josh Allen might be the biggest deal in the National Football League, but Mahomes does exist. So he's always the bridesmaid and never the bride. So I think Josh Allen has the beef because of the, when he thinks of his career, it always is in the shadow of Mahomes. And if there was no Mahomes, there's no shadow. So I'm going to say Josh Allen.
I'm going to pick Kyle Shanahan for a couple of different reasons. When you think about the two losses that they have in the Super Bowl, they are in some ways iconic defeats. There are some teams that lose in the Super Bowl and we just never talk about it. We never discuss it again. It just kind of happens, right? Think about the first loss between these two teams. San Francisco had a 20-10 lead late in the fourth quarter. Late in the fourth. and Patrick Mahomes takes them down the field. It's 3rd and 15, and they score a touchdown in your 20-10 lead. You then lose the game 31-20. Like, I know we talk about the Chiefs winning in a double-digit fashion. We don't talk nearly enough about how the Chiefs were down 20-10 with 7 minutes and 26 seconds left when Jet Chiefs Wafts happens, and the Chiefs then score 21 points in the final 7 minutes and 45 seconds of the game and dominate San Francisco. You then get another chance against the Kansas City Chiefs. You get one final chance in the Super Bowl. Who knows if you'll ever get back to the Super Bowl? Who knows if you will have a better chance than you did in the Super Bowl? You had a 10-3 lead heading into half. You have to get one stop at the end of the game. Now, sure, it was going to be difficult, but you had one stop at the end of the game. That's all you needed. You kick a field goal. Rob, the San Francisco 49ers had a 19-16 lead with less than 2 minutes to go in the Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes takes them down the field, 11 plays, 64 yards, in less than 2 minutes, and they win the, oh my goodness, and they beat you in overtime. It has to be heartbreaking. I hear you on Josh Allen, but Josh Allen has lost to Patrick Mahomes on the second and third biggest stages. There is no bigger stage than the Super Bowl. There is no bigger stage than that final NFL game of the season, and he has ripped your dreams away from you two separate times. I bet Kyle Shanahan hates Patrick Mahomes. He's at the top of my list. So 913-586-7965, starting today's show a little bit different than how we usually would start it. Who do you think walks around in the league with the biggest chip on their shoulder towards Patrick Mahomes? Do you think it's Kyle Shanahan? Is it Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or the rest of the AFC West that just know that at least for the next 15 years, you were just playing for second place? It doesn't matter how good of a team you have. It doesn't matter how great of a season you have. You are not winning your division, and you are going on the road for 3 consecutive weeks to try to make the Super Bowl. As long as Patrick Mahomes has been in this division, he has won the division, and it's never necessarily been that close between the Chiefs and any of these other teams. We'll ask Bonte Hill this question coming up in a bit. How deep is the hatred between these two teams? How deep is the hatred between San Francisco and Kansas City? We'll also get his thoughts on San Francisco as they have started off the season 3-3. What's gone wrong with the Niners? That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am very excited to head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. He is one of the best sports talk hosts in the country. Does fantastic work in San Francisco. Bonte Hill joins us on the show today. Bonte, how you doing, my man?
Carrington, you know how to butter me up. One of the best sports talk hosts in the country, man. Don't do that to me, man. Don't do that to me, C-Dot.
Bonte, I wouldn't say it if I didn't feel that way. I am happy to have you on because I want you to communicate, because you and I have been texting over the course of the week. I want you to communicate how unpopular Patrick Mahomes is in that part of the country.
Oh, man. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Chris Jones. We can't stand them yet. We have nightmares about them. Andy Reid, how he's got the upper hand over Kyle Shanahan. Oh, my gosh. He gets, and the cool part is, Carrington, Patrick Mahomes is so fun to watch. Kelce's so fun to watch. Chris Jones is so fun to watch dominate. And yet we can't help but get PTSD every time you guys line up on the field, whether it's Thursday, Sunday, or Monday.
Bonte, which Super Bowl loss is more hurtful to Niners fans? Is it the first time or the second time?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. Go back and forth. You know, what's funny is, after they lost last February in Las Vegas, and I'm walking out that stadium, I mean, the confetti didn't even hit the turf yet, and I was really gone. I was out of there. And I'm walking out like, wow, that hurts. And there was a fellow Niner fan walking to the side of me said, you think that one hurts? Miami hurts more. Miami hurt more. So it's different on depending on the Niner fan, because 2019 was such a dream season that came out of nowhere, and it was the perfect storm, and all we keep thinking about is 2-3 chip wasp on 3rd and 15 with just under 7 minutes left, and it felt like that was the ball game. And I could say that 3rd and 15 conversion by Mahomes, you know, Mahomes and Tyreek Hill changed the course of NFL history. Who knows if you guys go back-to-back? Who knows if you guys win a Super Bowl? Who knows how much dialogue there is about Andy Reid not winning a big one? The dialogue with Kyle Shanahan is completely different. So, to be honest with you, Carrington, if I went out and polled 100 Niner fans, which Super Bowl loss is worse, Vegas or Miami? I think it'd be 50-50. Niner fans, I mean, it hurts not knowing the overtime rules and it comes down to the final play, but both hurt. It's a different type of pain, but each fan would say the other. Like, it's right down the middle, see that?
Right now, we're talking to Bonte Hill, who does fantastic work in San Francisco. It's funny, the back and forth. And Bonte, I don't think this is any disrespect towards San Francisco, but this game hasn't really registered in the way that it has for you guys just in our conversations. Just at this point, I'm not sure if an NFC team can kind of rate like that for Chiefs fans, because San Francisco is just not a roadblock to anything that Kansas City wants to do. They can't stop them from winning the division. Kansas City has already played Baltimore. They play Buffalo later this season. They play Houston later this season. So the teams that you think you were in competition with for that one seed, just this game hasn't really gotten to that big game level that I think it has in San Francisco.
That's understandable. And out here, it's been a weird vibe, to be honest with you, because last year, and I can understand that, out-of-conference game, it has no bearings on AFC tiebreakers, division tiebreakers, so I understand all that. And there was a lot more passion for the Niners-Eagles game last season when the Niners went into Philadelphia. And I think part of that was due to the trash talk between both teams. And, of course, Brock Purdy getting hurt 6 plays into the game for the Niners. And so there was a lot more passion, a lot more fervor for that game against Philadelphia. It has been a bit of a weird vibe. However, a lot of fans believe that, hey, you got to win this week. Because not only is it, hey, maybe now you know you can beat Kansas City in the game, you can leave the field knowing that you got more points than Andy Reid and company. Shanahan finally gets a win against Andy Reid. I believe he's 0-4. But also, it could be a springboard for the Niners to jumpstart their season and take on the Cowboys next week, and they go 5-3 into the bye week. So it's been a very weird vibe. There's some people like, hey, we hate Kansas City, but there's also a lot more respect for Kansas City. Now, with all that said, I think you guys are probably the number one or two rival for Niner fans. I understand how Kansas City fans will look at the 49ers and say, well, we got Baltimore, we got Denver, we got the Raiders, you got Buffalo, you got Burrow and Cincinnati. So I wouldn't understand how Kansas City fans will feel like that. But Niner fans, they can't stand Kansas City. They understand that you're not going to win a Super Bowl by winning on Sunday. As Trent Williams said, confetti's not getting popped. Champagne's not getting popped. It's not going to be on ice. But Niner fans can't stay in Kansas City because they feel like they've kept them from that sixth Lombardi, a Super Bowl trophy that Niner fans have been dying for since 1994.
Vontae, I want to run a take by you that I think that Kyle Shanahan is this generation's Bill Cowher, that he is a phenomenal coach, and Cowher had Pittsburgh playing at a high level for 10 to 12 years. And then he eventually got one, and everybody kind of had the opinion of, it was time. It was time for Kyle Shanahan to win one. I'm not sure when Kyle Shanahan is going to win a championship, but it does feel like at some point San Francisco is going to win a championship with him as their head coach.
Yeah, it certainly feels like it. I mean, some people say the Andy Reid feel when Andy Reid was in Philadelphia and never got that Super Bowl in Philadelphia despite going to five NFC championship games and a Super Bowl appearance, and he could never get over the hump. There's a lot of signs that point towards Shanahan being the Andy Reid of this generation. And unfairly, I think Shanahan gets blamed for the Super Bowl when he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. Look, they had a 28-3 lead. They had a defensive-minded head coach of Dan Quinn. You can't hold a 28-3 lead. I mean, geez, Louise. But yet Shanahan gets all the heat. And he's such a polarizing figure because of who his father was, Mike Shanahan, what happened in Washington with RG3 and Kirk Cousins, the way Mike Shanahan coached the Denver Broncos and was there for a long, long time. For some reason, there's this disgust with Kyle Shanahan. And even now with the fan base, there's so much blame towards Shanahan for all these losses. Like, they go down to L.A. and take on the Rams. And they didn't have Debo. Then they had George Kittle. But, boy, Brock Purdy played well. And, yeah, they blew a lead, 21-7. But players got to execute as well. Like, Ronnie Bell just drops a pass. Right? Just completely flat out drops a pass. They lose to Arizona. Jordan Mason fumbles inside the 10-yard line. Yet all we do is take a lot of phone calls about, why does Shanahan do this? Why does Shanahan do that? Let him go. It's time to move on. Let's go get Belichick. It's really strange because he's really flipped this program. Shanahan took over an expansion team, and now the Niners are one of the more relevant teams in the NFL. So we just hope that he does win a Super Bowl here with the 49ers. He's going to win a Super Bowl at some point because he's that good of a head coach. He's never lost that locker room whatsoever despite all the turbulence at times within that locker room. But you hope that he wins here. But, boy, a lot of Niners fans believe that he may be Andy Reid and win elsewhere after he leaves the 49ers. So he's such a polarizing figure, though, Carrington. It's unbelievable how much blame he gets for a lot of the shortcomings with the 49ers.
Vontae, it's crazy to say this, but you guys have one of the more polarizing quarterbacks in the league. Some people are Brock Purdy believers. Some people just won't buy into it. Some people think he's a creation of Kyle Shanahan and the offense and the pieces and the parts. But some people think he's deserving of getting $65 million or something of that range next offseason. How polarizing is he in San Francisco? And if there is a consensus, what's the feeling towards their quarterback?
Boy, so yesterday I threw up some numbers from the start of the regular season last year. Niners opened up against Pittsburgh. You guys opened up against the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football. And from that moment, Mahomes has played 21 regular season games, Purdy 22 regular season games. Purdy's thrown 40 touchdowns since that point, and only 15 interceptions, and damn near 6,000 yards. Mahomes, on the other hand, and we know how great he is, has thrown 33 touchdowns and 20 interceptions, and he's thrown for about 5,400 yards. And so I go, hey, look, he's actually played better regular season football than Mahomes, but nobody in their right mind is going to take Purdy over Mahomes. That's sacrilegious. That's ridiculous. But then people tell me, man, you're an idiot. How can you say something like that? How can you say something like that? Earlier this season, I mentioned, hey, he's playing better football than Joe Burrow. Vontae, you're an idiot, blah, 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 blah. But yet, if you get critical about Brock Purdy and say, boy, I'm a little worried about this game. You know, he threw the pick. He's holding the ball too long. Oh, you're Brock Purdy. Here, he's a hater. You're this, you're that. There's no gray area with Brock Purdy. It's either he's the next Joe Montana or he's a bum. You can't win talking about Brock Purdy. He's actually frustrating to talk about because when you assess his game and say, hey, he held onto the ball too long and he scrambles too much and he's not hitting the deep throws. Oh, man, what do you want from him, man? He's better than Jimmy. He's better than this. He's better than that. Yeah, I agree. He's a top five, top 10 quarterback. But, boy, I mean, there's a segment of fans who wait for him to fail, and there's a segment of fans who believe he's the second coming of Joe Montana. So it's kind of nauseating to talk about Brock Purdy around here because they're so desperate for that next franchise quarterback. And boy, if he gets paid $60 million a year, well, what is the noise going to be about now? I mean, let alone nationally, but in our own market, this guy is polarizing. So he's actually an interesting case study. And I'll just keep saying this, Carrington. He's one of the greatest stories in North American sports history, in my opinion, especially if he gets a Super Bowl. Because, I mean, the guy was the last pick of the NFL draft. And now he's a starting quarterback with the 49ers, one of the premier franchises in all of football. I think it's truly remarkable. But, boy, the scale with Brock Purdy, man, it's so tipsy-turvy. It's ridiculous, man. And sometimes I just get frustrated talking about him.
This is the thing that confuses me about the conversation around Brock Purdy, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. And you and I both watch this league. A lot of people watch the NFL. We see how unstable the quarterback position is for 20 teams in the National Football League. Or maybe you think you have that guy, but you have no clue what kind of production you're going to get from that player. San Francisco has had one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL basically since we found out about him. Since he was given the starting job, he has been one of the most productive and consistent quarterbacks in the league. This to me is he is a prisoner of where he was drafted. I mean, if he was Will Levis, for example, and he was a second round pick out of a, you know, Kentucky, then everybody would love him. But the fact that he was the Mr. Irrelevant, he was the last pick in the draft. I'm with you. It does feel like people are sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop and say, see, I told you he wasn't good.
Hey, it's the glass slipper, right? The Cinderella slipper. They're waiting for it to break. That's basically what they're doing. It's like, wait a minute here. You come back from 24-7 against the Detroit Lions, all right, in the NFC Championship game. You come back in the rain against Green Bay without Deebo Samuel. I don't think he looked overwhelmed in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. There are some execution breakdowns, the cover zero blitz in overtime where Chris Jones just blows up the play, the third and five play of regulation, which gave Kansas City a chance to tie the game at the end of regulation. He's had some phenomenal games. I mean, he's been on time. He's mastered the system under Kyle Shanahan, and he's taken the system to the next level. Now people pick apart and say, well, he's got all these weapons. He's got all these all-pros. Well, you got to have weapons in this league to succeed on Sundays, right? Travis Kelce, one of the greatest tight ends, if not the greatest tight end we've ever seen. Mahomes has that weapon. He has that. And so I just don't get it. I don't know why people are waiting for him. This is who he is. He's going to be a damn good quarterback. He's going to make the right read. Even the Rams game, even though the Rams had a lot of guys out, I mean, he was throwing to Juwan Jennings and to Brandon Ayuk, who was out of shape. And that was one of Purdy's best games of his pro career. And yet, oh, man, they couldn't put away the Rams. You see Purdy this, and he didn't do this. So it's just going to be a never-ending conversation unless he wins a Super Bowl. So I don't know what people are watching. Just give it up. Like you said, I'm watching Trevor Lawrence. Who's the number one overall pick? Who would you rather have right now, Purdy or Trevor Lawrence? Trevor Lawrence looks like a wreck right now in Jacksonville. Give me Purdy, who, by the way, outdueled Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville last season. So I don't get it. I don't know what people are watching. But that's just the way, I guess, society is. That's how sports fans is these days, especially with the online engagement, where it's just like you either have to be great or you're going to be a bum. There's no like, hey, he's really, really good. He's not Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. But how many other quarterbacks did you take over Brock Purdy? There's not too many in this league I take over Brock.
Right now, we're talking to Bonte Hill for a couple more minutes. Works in San Francisco, does morning radio, one of the best out there. All right, Bonte, let's learn a little bit more about this San Francisco team. They are 500 right now. There's way too much talent, and their coaching staff is too good for this to be a 500 team. What's gone wrong in the first 6 weeks for San Francisco?
Well, a lack of execution. I mean, in these crucial games, they dominate the Arizona Cardinals. They're up double digits. All of a sudden, they lose their kicker, Jake Moody, and they can't kick. But Arizona just ran the ball right down their throats. And defensively, I think this is the most vulnerable defense in the last 5 years for the 49ers. They don't get a consistent pass rush. That's even Nick Bosa. I mean, they don't get a consistent pass rush. Javon Hargrave is out. So the pass rush is non-existent. Their blitz packages are very predictable, very predictable. And now, without Jerry Greenlaw, who you guys saw, that was a massive loss to the 49ers in the Super Bowl when Jerry Greenlaw tore his Achilles tendon and Oren Burks is running all over the place. He doesn't know where to line up. Well, Devondre Campbell signed as a free agent for the Green Bay Packers, and teams are telling you, yeah, we like when Devondre Campbell's on the field because they are attacking number 59 at will. So defensively, they're just not the same team. obviously in the red zone, and it's kind of fascinating that both teams have struggled in the red zone this season. I know Kansas City is something like 30th in the red zone when it comes to the red zone efficiency. Well, the 49ers are not much better. They're 12 of 27 in the red zone, and that's where the Christian McCaffrey effect kind of comes into play, because now you don't have this ultimate slot machine, this ultimate joystick, I should say, where you can line them up in the slot, you can line them up in the backfield. He's a mismatch nightmare for linebackers. And Jordan Mason has run great. He's just not the same in the pass game. So the red zone issues offensively have really hurt the 49ers. They just have not converted enough touchdowns once they get inside the 20. And obviously their offense has become a little predictable inside the 20, where on every first down, it feels like they're going to run the ball right up the middle and set up a second and long inside the 20. So they've had some execution issues here, and they've had some injuries, but for the most part, they should not be 3-3. They're a Ronnie Bell drop pass away and the Jordan Mason fumble inside the 10-yard line away from being 5-1. For them to be 3-3 has obviously been disappointing, which made last week a must win against Seattle.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think the status is for the run game heading into this one? Obviously, no Christian McCaffrey. What's the status on Jordan Mason? And do you think the rookie, Isaac Guarendo, do you think he can step in and kind of and fill in some big shoes, losing those first two backs who have been really productive?
Yeah, well, the word on the street is Jordan Mason is going to give it a go. He has the AC sprain in the shoulder, the left shoulder, but he's a battering ram, and he takes a lot of punishment. Isaac Guarendo obviously stepped up against Seattle, and he's raw. He's a rookie. I'm not sure if he's able to handle a pounding, if he's able to handle 20 touches a game. So Patrick Taylor Jr. is another guy that they played last week against Seattle, and he gave him a little bit of juice. Obviously, he's not Jordan Mason. He's not Christian McCaffrey. So they're going to have to run the ball with those guys. They may call up a guy named Keyshawn Vaughn from the practice squad who they really, really like, but they need Jordan Mason, and they need to run the ball because, look, I understand Kansas City's defense is phenomenal, and they've been phenomenal ever since that playoff run. And it all starts with number 95, Chris Jones. I love their linebacker core. I love the secondary. But the Niners have to stay out of third long situations. So it behooves them to have, whether it's Jordan Mason, Isaac Guarendo, run the ball effectively here, because against Fags' defense, you don't want to be in 3rd-and-8. You don't want to be in 3rd-and-7. You need to set up those 2nd-and-3s, those 3rd-and-2s, and really be ahead of the sticks here. So Jordan Mason will go. However, Carrington, it sounds like Juwan Jennings, who's had a big start to the season, and he may have been the Super Bowl MVP had the 49ers won the Super Bowl, he may not go. His hip is really bad. He hasn't practiced all week.
Last thing here, Bonte, and I appreciate your time. Give me your keys to the game. We always ask people this. Give me your Chiefs win if scenario. Give me your Niners win if scenario.
Well, I think the Chiefs win if they continue to play stout defense. That front with Carl Office and Wharton and Chris Jones and Mike Dana, they played really well. Drew Tranquil, I love this linebacker core with Bolton and Leo Chenal. The Chiefs will win if they shut down the 49ers run game and turn them into a passing game, because the Niners are not built to just drop back and throw the ball 40 to 45 times. That's not their formula. They love to get the 30 carries a game, and that tells them that they're running the ball effectively, which sets up their play-action pass. So the Chiefs will win if they just shut down the 49ers run and control the running game and put them in third and long situations, and obviously take care of the football on the offensive end with Kareem Hunt, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce. The 49ers will win. On the flip side, if they are running the ball and they're getting those explosive plays that they've missed last season, they're last in yak this year, yards after catch. Deebo Samuel hasn't been able to break loose. Brandon Ayuk has had a game against Arizona. That's about it. George Kittle, you got to get more explosives out of this football team. So they need more 20-plus yard plays, some explosives here. And they have to control the running game. And, oh, by the way, it helped to get a little pressure on number 15, Patrick Mahomes.
That is our guy, Bonte Hill, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work. He's with 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco. Bonte, man, appreciate you, man. I'm looking forward to a good one. These teams only know how to play close competitive games.
There's no doubt. I can't wait for the Chiefs to come in. A great litmus test for the 49ers. So see if they can finally get one against Andy Reid and company. But Carrington, what is he, about 21-4 off the bye? Come on, man. This is not fair.
I'm with you, Bonte. I mean, that's the biggest reason why I'm picking Kansas City. I'm picking Kansas City for two reasons. Their record off a bye and Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. Like, do I want to be on the side with the 4 or do I want to be on the side of 21 with Andy Reid? It seems to me there's only one right side to be in this conversation.
There's no doubt. I can't be mad at you for that pick, but I can't wait for Sunday. A great litmus test for the 49ers. It's always good to see, to watch greatness. And Patrick Mahomes coming to Levi's Stadium, we understand what he did last time. when he throw for like 423 yards at Levi's Stadium. It's always fun to watch him, but boy, the Niners need this win. Carrington, you're the best, man. Appreciate you as always.
Absolutely. That's our guy Bonte Hill joining us on the show today. Happy to get the San Francisco 49ers perspective heading into the game. Text line 913-586-7965. C-Doc, Kyle Shanahan is not a great coach, at least not a head coach. Stop it. He has done nothing to deserve being a head coach. I just would like to point out that San Francisco, in four of the last five seasons, has either gone to the Super Bowl or the NFC Championship game, and they have won double-digit games in four of the last 5 years. If Kyle Shanahan does not classify as a great head coach, I would like to know who else we are putting in that conversation. I would say that we are doing some of the same things that we do to Kyle Shanahan or coaches in that same vein that we do to quarterbacks. Tell me the coaches that are winning Super Bowls or consistently winning postseason games. It is a very small group of people that are doing that right now. When you look at the postseason and it is single elimination, one loss, and you are out of there, I mean, it's been a while since Mike Tomlin has had postseason success. It's been a while since Mike McCarthy has had success in the postseason. It's been a while since a lot of the coaches that we would put in that top five conversation, it's been a while since they've had success. You go to two of the last five Super Bowls and you've been in the NFC Championship game for the last 5 years, that puts you at the top of the list. You are not ahead of Andy Reid. Andy Reid is number one on this list. But right now, in my opinion, number two on the list is Kyle Shanahan, and I don't really see an argument for anybody else to put in that number two.
I mean, in the last, 10 years, has anyone other than Andy Reid or Sean McVay that's still coaching won a Super Bowl? Belichick's done and gone. Shanahan's been to multiple but lost. I mean, Tomlin may have been in that window, but I don't think so. 2015 on is not the Tomlin window. Harbaugh has not won in that window. Like, if we were to really look at NFL coaches under a microscope, it would be Reid, the obvious with a bullet. I would have, if you think rings matter only, then you have to have McVay at two. And after that, it's a matter of who's getting to the Super Bowl. And Kyle Shanahan has got there multiple times, been in the championship game multiple times. Like, he's definitely, at worst, third in the modern NFL based on what he's done since he got hired, because Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in forever, let alone a Super Bowl. So I disqualify him. And Harbaugh was great with Joe Flacco, but we haven't seen him cash in with Lamar Jackson yet.
And just the fact that you've seen Kyle Shanahan do it now with multiple quarterbacks matters. The fact that he went to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo and then also went to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, I don't really understand the argument against Kyle Shanahan. It just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Coming up on the other side, I want to give you guys our parlay. We hit on one of these last week. If you guys are not listening to us, you are not making money. We'll give you our parlay, and we'll also catch up with John Kurtz and cover a little bit of K-State. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
K-State fan, I don't want you guys to feel like you were left out. Now, this show will never get credit for talking about K-State, and tomorrow you guys will all congregate and talk about how we in the Kansas City media have come together to never talk about your team, but we are having a K-State guest on the show right now. Go tell your three K-State friends. John Kurtz joins us on the show today. John Kurtz, how are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on for the first time and finally getting K-State some damage.
Okay. John, why are you doing this? Now they're going to run with it. John Kurtz said, no, that's not accurate.
It's at C.Harrison on Twitter, I believe, everybody.
Oh, my goodness. John Kurtz, I can't believe you would do this. You know what? Just for that, I'm picking West Virginia to go on the road and win this weekend. I'm changing my pick just like that.
That's fine. Carrington, we function better when we have a chip on our shoulder, right? And when we feel like the world is against us. So that actually is very apropos. You're just kind of feeding the beast by doing that.
You know, I was really impressed last week against Colorado. Now, Colorado is not one of the marquee teams, but it's a road night game. It's in conference. And Colorado Colorado just plays a lot of quirky, weird, competitive, who knows what could happen kind of games, especially after their first road loss against BYU, where they just got completely outclassed in the second half of that game. I thought last week was an impressive road win for the Wildcats.
Yeah, to me, it was kind of about growing up. Because at BYU, when they had an issue with a turnover, which they did against Colorado late, that helped set up the go-ahead score, they just completely melted down. And that was in a tough environment. I mean, I was there in Provo, and look, I traveled for 10 years with K-State football all around the old Big 12, including Texas and Oklahoma, many times. And Provo held up about as well as any, maybe not quite to like Oklahoma level, but it was a tough environment. And I think K-State really kind of wilted. And Avery Johnson admitted as much, basically, after that game. You had DJ Giddens' first career fumble that got run back for a touchdown, and everything just unraveled after that. So, to me, the really impressive part there was to be able to go score in three plays. I mean, they led the entire game. They controlled the entire game. And in about the span of half a quarter, it just goes away, totally evaporates. And now what are you going to do? You got this really gassed up crowd with celebrities on the sideline all cheering against you. Like, how are you going to respond to that? And three plays, they're in the end zone. And then the defense got to stop too. And I know there was a little bit of controversy at the end there, but I mean, in four plays, they didn't let Colorado pick up a first down after that. So it was just a complete and total response from everybody where that didn't happen at all. And a lot of the blame wants to go to the offense for what happened at BYU, but also, I mean, the defense, when they were put in tough spots and having to defend short fields, I mean, they offered little to no resistance at all to BYU in that game, which is how they scored 31 points in 6 minutes. So I thought it was impressive from both sides of the ball. It kind of knocked back a Colorado team that seemed like they just had the magic late in games. You know, I mean, it was coming off the Baylor game where they had the Hail Marys. They did not play very well for most of the night and then just snapped their fingers there in front. You just felt like, all right, there's something here in Boulder. But K-State stopped that. And I think that's a real sign of growth for this team.
You mentioned growth. What growth have you seen in Avery Johnson over the course of the last month or so?
Well, definitely he's become more consistent throwing the ball. It's not perfect, and I think it still is a work in progress, and you're going to continue to see, you know, warts sometimes this year, like late in the Colorado game. I mean, he kind of throws one off his back foot that gets intercepted and run almost all the way back for a touchdown. So it's still coming along, but if you watched film of that game versus the UT Martin game at the beginning of the year, the Tulane game where there were just more frequent misses, more glaring misses, I think he's been able to dial some of that in. And he's done it too, by the way, with running a little bit less. They have not been utilizing his legs quite as much. Couldn't really at Colorado because he got hurt, which is another part of the adversity that they overcame at Colorado. But Kleiman said after the game, like, we didn't have quarterback run to go to. So when they're trying to, usually late in a game, when you're trying to move the ball in critical situations, that's when they would get a little bit more lenient toward using his legs and using him in the run game, but they didn't have that option. So he's been forced to do that more with his arm. So I think it's really like the composure that I just talked about, and then just becoming a little bit better with reps as a passer. You know, I don't know that he's ever going to be a totally elite like pocket passer, but he definitely can be a good one. And I think he's very much on the path to getting there.
Right now, we're talking a little K-State football with John Kurtz here for a couple more minutes. It feels like, John, and I don't want to jinx anything, let me knock on wood, it feels as if K-State can get over this game, it feels like they shouldn't lose again until you get to Iowa State. I mean, if your remaining road game is on the road against Houston, that's one of the bottom five teams in the Big 12. You dominate KU. Arizona State is at home. It's also late in the season, so it's going to be a different temperature than they're used to. Cincinnati's not that good this year. I mean, this is the test to me. If they can get over this game against West Virginia, a road night game in conference, it seems to me that you're going to be playing Iowa State for a chance to go to the Big 12 championship game.
I definitely am behind that sentiment. Now, I would also say, you know, I'm still leery of next week, especially because I guess I've said this about three or four times this year, but I anticipate Kansas getting some confidence back this weekend when they play Houston. And that will still be a game where they're capable of beating you if you don't bring it. But K-State has been a totally different animal at home. You're right. And that's a huge part of it. Cincinnati and Arizona State are much improved from last year, particularly Arizona State. But they're now dealing with a quarterback injury, so who knows by the time they get to that game. But K-State at home has been crushing people. They don't have those moments where they're a pretty young team and they get a little bit rattled. That doesn't happen at home, so I think that's made a world of difference. Schedule's very, very manageable. And at the beginning of the year, I looked at this. Look, I picked K-State to lose at BYU and at West Virginia at the beginning of the year. Obviously, I'm one for one on those predictions, but I looked at this situation and said, all right, you're traveling across three time zones from the Mountain Time Zone in Boulder, which turned out to be the latest possible kick that you could have. Now you got to go all the way to the Eastern Time Zone in a tough place to get to in Morgantown, West Virginia, and play in front of a, I would imagine, still a pretty juiced up night crowd there. I know their fans aren't very happy with Neil Brown right now, but that's a tough environment. Again, another place that I've been, it's not an easy place to go play. That's a really difficult stretch with probably a little bit less prep time just because they didn't get back until 5 in the morning. On Sunday from the previous trip to Boulder. So I'm with you. I think it's a massive game, and if you do get this, we're probably looking at the biggest Farmageddon matchup that we've ever had.
Last question here really quickly. If I had to, like, ask K-State fans, if I walked around Aggieville and I said, these are your two choices, K-State goes to the Elite Eight or KU misses the entire NCAA tournament this year, which one do you think fans would pick?
Boy, that Elite Eight thing, man. That's, you're striking a nerve with that because, you know, three times in my lifetime, I guess three times since 2010, they've made it there to the Elite Eight, not gotten over that hump. Does anyone want to relive that pain again? If you went to Aggieville, I think you'd get a pretty split response. I'll put it that way. I think it'd be pretty split. When was the last time Kansas missed the tournament, right? I mean, that's the thing. We've seen K-State go to the Elite Eight. I don't remember seeing Kansas not make the NCAA tournament.
Well, you know what? If KU misses the NCAA tournament, the party that Columbia and Manhattan are going to have there is going to come together for the biggest party that we've ever seen locally.
Well, I agree with that. I'm also really interested. You know, Coleman Hawkins has this podcast that he's doing with Field of 68, and they said that they're going to try to get Hunter Dickinson to like come on and do that too. So I'd be very interested to hear the Coleman Hawkins discourse back and forth with Hunter Dickinson there if Kansas misses the tournament.
That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show. He's with the Three Mall Podcast. He is one of my favorite K-State people to talk to. John, it was great to have you for your first time ever coming on this show, man. Hopefully we do this again.
I agree. I'm glad we broke the seal. Let's do it again soon.
That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, I have a thought about Kyle Shanahan. We'll also give you a parlay so you can win a little bit of money this weekend. That's coming up. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.